Hello, and welcome to the teaching ministry of Faith Word Fellowship, where faith in the Word leads to a more intimate fellowship with God. We're excited to bring you this teaching of Mark Roberson, pastor of Faith Word Fellowship, where we're building people of vision, people of valor, and people of victory. Now let's join Pastor Mark as he delivers this week's teaching.
We approach the Word of God today. And we approach it in your grace. We honor you, and we honor your word. And we thank you, Lord, as we place ourselves into the hands of the Holy Spirit, who is our teacher, our comforter, our strengthener, and our guide. And today we choose to receive from him. We receive your words, what you say to us. We receive your insights, what you release to us. Excuse me. We receive your wisdom, and we receive your favor. We receive your precious anointing, Lord, to teach us, to train us, to develop us, and to embolden us. And I pray, Lord, that you will use me, spirit, soul, and body, to deliver this word accurately, effectively, and with your authority in the name of Jesus. Now cause your people and those who will hear this message to hear it with the same measure of accuracy and effectiveness. And Daddy, we give you the praise, the honor, and all, and the honor and all the glory goes to you for it all. In Jesus' name, and everyone say amen.
Amen.
Come on, let's look at this. We started looking at this this past Thursday night. Of course, since it was a national holiday, you all didn't get the rebroadcast. But we'll send it out so that you can have part one of this. And then as this will be the second session we're looking at, let's go ahead and look at our title. Developing a kingdom mindset to cancel debt. Developing a kingdom mindset to cancel debt. Why is this so important? Well, because God doesn't want you enslaved to anything. Say amen.
Amen.
God doesn't want you in captivity whatsoever. Since he sent Jesus to deliver us and cancel our spiritual debt, then God doesn't want us to live with any financial debt. He doesn't want us to live in any form of a deficit. He doesn't want us to be weak in our faith. He doesn't want us to be weak emotionally, mentally. He wants us to be strong. He wants us to be liberated. He wants us to be free. The Bible says, whom the Son has set free is free indeed. And so they're not captive. They're not indebted to anything or anyone. And you got to see this. And so one of the things that we're doing in this teaching is bringing you to the place of awareness, so you could understand that God wants to cancel debt in your life. Can you say amen?
Amen.
All right. Let's go ahead and open our Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 6. Since the Lord has targeted this passage of scripture to use for this teaching, we're going to continue to pull some things from it. And my prayer is this, that God will use me and my simple approach to release this word, but that he'll fill each of my words with his power, with his fire, with such an impact that you'll hear a word, but it'll shatter some debt in your life.
Amen.
Because when I think about, and I don't know about how you all read the Bible, but this is how I read it. When I think about, for example, in the book of Joshua, Joshua replaces Moses as leading the Hebrew people, going and taking them into the promised land. But listen, Now this is after Jericho. They encounter and they're fighting a people in the promised land, and it seemed like they're running out of daylight, and the people of God are losing. Here is Joshua. He's not born again because Jesus hadn't come. He's not spirit-filled. The Spirit is upon him because in the Old Testament, the Spirit of God came upon three offices, the king, the prophet, and the priest. And so it came upon him to fulfill his assignment, but the Spirit of God is not in him. And here Joshua, with this boldness, he prays to the sun. Yep, you heard me, the S-U-N. And he commands the sun to stand still, which gave the people of God enough light to defeat the enemy. Mm-hmm. He commanded the sun to be still and for the moon not to come so it wouldn't be night. And the Bible says, the sun stood still, and even scientists today have stated that it seemed like in Earth's history, there is one day it seemed like they can't explain it, why it didn't rotate, everything didn't move like it was supposed to. What happened? And we got record of it in the book of Joshua. A simple prayer. A simple prayer that God used his words to bring about victory. Now, I say that to say this to you, never underestimate your prayer.
Amen.
Never downplay your prayer and think that your prayer isn't making a difference.
Amen.
God will use your simple words to cause a miraculous manifestation. Think with me, David, teenage boy, about the age of 17, goes and fights Goliath. Goliath is 9 feet tall. You know, they got a young man who plays for my basketball team, the San Antonio Spurs. This brother's 7'5", from France, Wembanyama. 7'5", that's a big brother.
Yes.
But Goliath was 9 feet tall. And here's David, 17 years old. And Goliath is a champion in the army. He has battled before, won victories. He know how to fight. And here's young David. Listen, had never fought one warrior in his life. He fought a lion and God brought him the victory. He fought a bear and God brought him the victory. But he had never fought another soldier. And now he's not just fighting a soldier. He's fighting a giant, 9 feet tall. Wow. And all he does is take a pebble. I say a pebble, a stone. A smooth stone, puts it in his sling, rears it back like he normally would, and fires it. Now, if anybody in here has ever been hit by a rock, it hurts. You may even get a little knot. It all depends on where it hit you. But just because somebody threw a rock, it never kills you. God put his force behind that boy's stone when he threw it. He had to throw it, but once he threw it, it was left up to God. That's what I'm trying to show you all. And sometimes we be looking at how we do, how we pray, what we say, and we think it's all up to us. Who told you that? All you got to do is, like David, throw the rock. The rock is symbolic of the word. Speak the word.
Amen.
Cast your prayer out there and let God do the rest.
Praise God.
Joshua did was pray. He didn't even pray to God for God to cause the sun to stand still. He spoke directly to the sun. Y'all read about it in Joshua chapter 10. You read about it in your own time. and the sun stood still. So what can God do with our simple prayers? What can God do with our simple faith declarations and decrees? What can God do with we just obeying him and we release something? So when we're talking about canceling debt, what is it that God could remove out of your life and release you into freedom from? That brother back there shared how in his own life he had student loan debt and it was over $200,000. Listen, that's a lot of money at anybody's house. $200,000. And they canceled it.
Praise God.
The government canceled it and they don't have to pay. Listen, and you know that if it's not paid off in a certain amount of time, it's drawing interest. Mm-hmm. It got canceled. It got canceled in his life, his account under his name, and his wife's account as a doctor got canceled. And all doctors know this. When they go and go into school and what have you, they leave school and they get their earned doctorate with a lot of debt. Mm-hmm. But it got canceled.
Praise God.
It got canceled.
Yes, sir.
Well, somebody say, well, that's because the government did something. No, that's the favor of God. But now, what else can God do? And so as we look at this, this is how you have to think. Because he wants to do something tremendous in our lives. Watch this. To position us to walk into a measure and level of his awesomeness we've never done before. That brother read a scripture this morning and it talks about us being in awe of God. Awe of God. And so I want you to see this real quick. Look at 2 Kings 6. 2 Kings 6. And this is the passage of scripture that God has moved on my heart to use for this particular teaching series. Let's start at verse 1. I'm reading from the King James Bible. Come on, everybody on a faith call. You make sure you're with me. And the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, behold, now the place where we dwell with thee is too strait or too small for us. Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make us a place there where we may dwell. And he answered, go ye. Verse 3. And one said, be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. So he went with them, and when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water, and he cried and said, alas, master, for it was borrowed. And the man of God said, where fell it? And he showed him the place, and he cut down a stick and cast it in there, and the iron did swim. Everyone say, the axe head did swim.
The axe head did swim.
And look at verse 7. Therefore said he, take it up to thee. And he put out his hand and took it. We're talking about our subject is developing a kingdom mindset to cancel debt. Developing a what kind of mindset?
Kingdom.
A kingdom mindset to cancel debt. Now, that's not just any kind of mindset. That's a particular mindset, a kingdom mindset to cancel debt. Now, we're going to go back over these passages to pull out some things that I've already pointed out to you. But here's the thing we're dealing with right now. Everyone look up here. Everyone look up here. We're still waiting on Krishan. Everyone look up here. I want you to see this. Here's what you got to hear. Okay, I was waiting on Krishan, now I'm waiting on Mario. Okay. Husband and wife thing, they're doing it. Okay, here we go. God says you're not believing him enough. You're not looking at him as your God to cause the supernatural take place. You're still trusting in your hands to make it happen, and you're not trusting in his hands to make it happen. I heard a story of this wealthy man who had an orphanage. And so the news reporter came to the orphanage to interview the man. And the story goes that he would tell them how he would take in orphans and take care of them and clothe them and feed them. And so it was time for bed. And so the reporter stopped and looked, because a lot of the kids, they went to bed and the man gave them a slice of bread in their hand. So they went to bed holding on to a slice of bread. But then the reporter noticed, here's another group of kids. They just going to bed and they're sleeping in peace and comfort. They don't have no bread in their hand. So he's thinking that the man is showing partiality. So he asks, why you got these kids over here and they going to bed with a slice of bread in their hands? Everyone say a slice of bread.
A slice of bread.
And then he says, over here, these kids are going to bed and they don't have nothing in their hands. Listen. So the man explains, you just don't understand. He says, see, these kids right here who have the slice of bread, they need to feel something, because they haven't learned how to trust me yet. He said, but the kids over here who don't have the slice of bread, they've been with me a while. And they know that the one who's with them when they go to sleep will be the same one with them when they wake up. That whatever they need, I got it covered. And so instead of trusting what's in their hands, they're trusting what's in my hands. Who you been trusting? Who have you been trusting? You have to understand that the God who is supernatural, come on, everyone say supernatural.
Supernatural.
He's in love with you. Watch this. In spite of your flaws, your faults, your failures, your foul-ups, he loves you. And he's not asking you to be like anybody else. But here's the question. Do you love him enough to trust what's in his hand, even though you don't feel it in your hand? Can you go to sleep at night knowing that my God got it covered? Can you go to sleep knowing that whatever problem that tried to go to bed with me, I've cast that care on the Lord, and he's covering this. He's taking care of this. Look at somebody and say, I don't know about you, but I trust him enough to go to sleep. I trust him enough to go to sleep. I trust him enough to let God handle this. I trust him enough to know that he got me covered. Come on, somebody say, he got me covered.
He got me covered.
That reporter left that interview, and he learned something about trust and confidence. Well, how could that other group of kids trust this man like they did? How could they have confidence that he'd cover? Listen, because they had relationship. Their confidence was not in what they could see with their eyes. I'm talking to somebody. You're still going by what you see with your eyes. Their confidence was in the relationship. How he walked with them day by day and did life with them, and they had a relationship, and the relationship wasn't based upon them being good all the time. Their relationship was based on the man's goodness covering the kids. And that's how God is. That's why one song says, love lifted me. Huh? You got to understand, when we read this and we look at this about developing a kingdom mindset to cancel debt. Right now, some of us, in your own consciousness, in your minds, you have some debt in your life you still are respecting too much. And you're not respecting God enough. You got to understand who's in love with you. You got to understand who cares for you. You got to understand who's in relationship with you. And you got to stop relating to that debt. Like, that debt is all powerful. Some of us, we have financial condemnation in our lives. We blame ourselves for where we are financially. We punish ourselves internally. We condemn ourselves. We talk about and we think about the bad choices we've made, the bad decisions we made, and how we got in this place. And now we look at the debt as our punishment. But see, the Bible says, Romans 8, chapter 1, there is therefore now
no condemnation.
Come on, say it like you believe it. There is therefore now
no condemnation.
And that includes financial condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So what happens when I am, what happens to cause me not to be able to be in position to cancel debt? I'm walking after the flesh, man. I'm respecting what I see. I'm respecting that bill that comes in. I'm respecting that debt. That debt is talking to me. That debt saying it's not going anywhere. And then the bill collectors add to it. Those are the little imps. I mean angels. I mean collectors. And so they're coming. And so they're saying all that. And you believe all of that. But you don't have a kingdom mindset to cancel debt. So let's go back over this. Because we talked about this already. That debt means you have an obligation. You owe something. There is, of course, I've mentioned this already, there is a spiritual debt. But Jesus took care of our spiritual debt. He canceled the debt for us at the cross. But when he canceled our spiritual debt, he canceled all debt. So before I go back over these scriptures, here's what you got to understand. Everything in the natural, what did I say?
Everything in the natural
has a spiritual root. You done lost half the church. Let's say it again. Everything in the natural. But see, they don't teach you like this in school. They don't teach you like this in business classes. Everything in the natural, debt. Your bill, it has a spiritual root. The only way it can show up in this natural realm, it had to start first in the spiritual realm. So when I'm looking at my debt, or looking at a debt, not my debt, a debt, I got to understand that debt is not symbolic of just my choices. That debt is also symbolic of something that has occurred in the realm of the spirit that has now manifested in my life. My choices may have helped it to get here, but there is that debt is the cause of a spiritual root. Everything you see in the natural has its source or root from the spiritual. Can everybody understand that?
Yes.
Are y'all with me so far?
Yes, sir.
Okay, this is just me and Chris. He's the only one responding. So me and Chris. This is me and Chris. We'll let y'all listen in. All right. So debt means to owe something. It means an obligation. The scripture says this, that the borrower is servant to the lender. We'll look at that scripture a little bit later. The borrower is servant to the lender. So that means that debt also represents captivity. Okay. Let's go back over our scriptures and look at this. Let's look at this. Verse 1. They said, and the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, behold, now the place where we dwell with thee is too straight or too small for us. So I pointed this out already in the first session that you got to determine in your mind that living with debt is too small for me. Living with debt is too small for me. God wants me to live larger. Everyone say that. God wants me to live larger. Come on, say it again. God wants me to live larger. Y'all, can we get used to that? Can we get used to saying that about ourselves? God wants me to live larger. See, living with debt is too small for us. God wants me to live larger. Live larger. You know, not all of us been saved all our lives, but those of us, out in the hip hop world, for years they would talk about living large, and they would show you what their semblance of living large is. They flash a lot of money, be in a nice car, be in a big house, but if you live long enough, you find out that life means more than that. Because you can have a big house, but it don't mean you have a home.
Amen.
You can be in a nice car, but you're not happy about where you go in your destination. Watch this. You can even buy love for a night. But you can't buy love that's committed to you for life. Mm-hmm. So see, living large in their definition is about having the things. No. God wants us to understand that even if I send you the things, you understand it's about the relationship.
Amen.
Did y'all get that?
Yes, sir.
It's about the relationship. And so you don't compare yourself because you're looking at somebody else who has more things than you. You don't know what they did to get those things, and you don't know what's going on behind closed doors. You don't know how unhappy they are. You don't know how miserable they are.
Amen.
How many of y'all have been? No, I'm not going to say that. Okay, let's keep on. Number one, living with debt is too small for you. Everyone say living with debt.
Living with debt.
Is too small for me.
Small.
You have to renew your mind to that because here's the thought. See, you have to understand that to cancel debt takes a complete mental reversal. Put that down in your notes. To cancel debt takes a complete mental reversal. To cancel debt, I have to renew my mind. It's not just about me getting a bunch of money, because if you get some money and you'll wind up at a worse place than you were because you haven't had a mind reversal.
Amen.
To cancel debt takes a complete mental reversal. See, right now, and this is what God is dealing with us, because he had me teaching it, in the world, you're used to doing it yourself. Come on, somebody. You're used to handling it yourself. The world has trained you that way. That if you don't do it, who's going to do it? The world has conditioned you to try to make your life work. But in the kingdom, somebody say in the kingdom.
In the kingdom.
In the kingdom of God, God does it for you. So you have to understand that before there is a financial shift, for example, you want to have a mental shift. Debt is used also to represent a spiritual obligation to God. I already talked about that. And that's why the Bible teaches that God has forgiven our sins and paid our debt through the death, burial, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus Christ. But right here he says in verse 1, where we're living is too small. So number one, I said living with debt is too small for you. Number two, living by accepting debt is too small for you. Living by accepting debt is too small for you. Now, if you live where you accept debt, then the debt is, watch this, Mother Carmen, diminishing the strength of your authority. So that's why some Christians, Even though God has made us authority figures, the strength of my authority has been diminished because of how I live in acceptance of stuff that's not the will of God for me. Did you know that? That when you live with debt, you're living with something that is not the will of God for you. So then how can you come over here and you're praying for healing and you want the will of what you want, you know, you want the will of God, which is for you to be healed, but you've already compromised your authority by living with something that is not the will of God for you. So the devil says he doesn't respond to you when you take authority over sickness or something because you've already compromised what you've chosen to live with. Are y'all getting that? Living by accepting debt is too small for you. So everyone say this, say, Lord, deliver me from a debt acceptance mentality. See, and that's what I had to do when it came to believing God for my health and healing. I got sick and tired of being sick and tired. But here I am. Watch this. Bless you, by Jesus' stripes you heal. I'm accepting sickness. And so now I'm only going to pray when I get sick for God to remove the sickness. God dealt with me. He says, you're accepting it. Whatever you accept, you can't take authority over. Well, the church I grew up in, they didn't teach me that. They taught us when you're sick, just come to the front and they'll pray for you to be healed. And then they told us, now, if you're still sick, that means that it was not God's will to heal you. He's teaching you something. But what is he teaching me through the sickness? How to be sicker? What's he teaching me? But that's what that's the church we brought up in. This is the church back in the 70s and 80s and stuff. And so that's what they was teaching us. But then I started reading the Bible and I said, it is not the will of God for me to be sick. So I had to get to the place where in my mind, I had an image of me being sick. And so sickness would come and it agreed with the image that was in my mind. So I had to be delivered from accepting sickness to where I'm going to resist it. So when it comes, I resist it. I open my mouth. I say, I resist you in the name of Jesus. And that's how you have to be about debt. You can't accept it. You can't tolerate it. How many of y'all remember the teaching series from last year? No more toil and toleration. Expect multiplication. I don't know what Chris talking about, but expect multiplication. He adding to the teaching. I don't know what that is. Expect multiplication. But listen, you can't expect multiplication when you're living with toleration. Y'all got to get this, man. We got to get this. You can't expect multiplication when you're living with toleration. You see what I'm saying? So you can't tolerate debt. You can't accept debt. We got to resist it. Let's look at this. So verse 1, he says that the place where we're living is too small for us. It's too contained, too constrained, too limited. So what we got to do now is catch the paradigm shift. Everyone say this, say, I'm moving. Yeah, I'm moving from living small, living with debt, tolerating debt. No, I'm moving. I'm catching a paradigm shift. And the day that it happened on the inside of me to where I no longer saw myself sick. So now when something come on me, well, Pastor Mark, do you get symptoms? Yes, they come, but they don't stay. Cold symptoms can come, but they don't stay because I no longer see myself sick. I see myself healed, and I resist the symptoms of sickness. I resist the symptoms of flu. I can't tell you the last time I had the flu, and I am not exaggerating. I'm serious, and I used to get the flu twice a year. In the month of September and the month of March, every year, even after we got married, she knew she was going to be taking care of me in the month of September and the month of March. It came religiously. I don't know why. Well, I do know why now. The spirit of sickness was tormenting me. Then I was anemic, asthmatic. Man, all of that. And I was still trying to live my life. But once I got delivered from the image of sickness. And I saw myself as the healed, and I'm no longer the sick. So as the healed, I resist sickness and disease. And that's why I share with y'all many times what God would tell me. He said, Mark, healed men don't lay in bed. Healed men, no matter how much I wanted to lay in bed just to give Cheryl the opportunity of taking care of the brother. I said, Lord, she wants to do this. I said, Lord, she enjoys doing this, taking care of me. And God would say to me, Mark, healed men don't lie in bed. So I had to get my little self up and resist the sickness and see myself as healed. Well, that's the same thing we got to do with this debt situation. See, you can pray to God for finances, but are you holding on to the image of debt? See, are you holding on to seeing yourself broke, busted, and disgusted financially? Are you holding on to the struggle, the stress, and the strain? So you can pray one thing, but the image, what you have on the inside of you is what you have really embraced as your reality. Are y'all listening to me?
Yes.
Number two, look at verse 2. He says, let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make us a place there where we may dwell. And he answered, go ye. So God reveals to us that we don't have to stay where we are and try to make it work. So right here, this brother talks about them being delivered from this small place, and they're changing addresses, changing where they live. So I no longer, this is my own personal testimony, I no longer live at the address called sick. I'm not sickly. So I changed addresses, and that's how we got to do with debt, with debt. I remember the first time God started talking to me about believing him to pay cash for a car. My parents never did that. I never did that. But he said, start believing me for that. You know, a lot of us, we never believe that. Mm-hmm. We just believe in, Lord, just help me make the monthly note. He says, believe me for cash.
Amen.
Now listen, favor always comes before finances. So even though I had never been able up to now to pay cash for a car, I'm believing. And I don't stop. Mm-hmm. But he gave me the favor. And Mother Carmen, he had someone, he favored me, and they purchased the car for me. So it's just like I had, you know, if I had the cash, they purchased a car for me.
Me too, Lord.
So all I did was took care of the car insurance. They paid for the car. Then another favor demonstration was that some people got together. Well, I'll go ahead since I'm sharing the testimony. It was Faith Word Canada. They got together on their own, and we want to take care of Pastor Mark. And they saw the car we was driving needing to be replaced, and they gave us a large deposit down payment for a new car. Everyone say favor.
Favor
comes before finances.
Comes before finances.
Now let me give you this. Why is this so important? Because how does God cancel debt? Let's look at this. Now, I said to you that he can use a strategy. Come on, say strategy.
Strategy.
Or he can use savings. Come on, say savings.
Savings.
In other words, teach you how to save. That's how you cancel the debt. Or he can use a supernatural. Come on, say supernatural.
Supernatural.
All right. So you got to understand that he provides the finances. He removes the debt. Or he can move upon others to help cancel your debt. Favor. Let me give you that again. He can provide the finances. He can remove the debt. Or he can move upon others to help you cancel debt. So this is what he talked about in verse 2. We're seeing the symbolism from this, or I am at least, that they're changing addresses. So I'm no longer living with debt. I'm no longer living in debt. I'm no longer living this way because of debt. And I'm no longer living according to debt. Those are the four powerful debt breakthrough stages, that I gave you already. All right. Look at verse 3. And one said, are y'all with me? I'm at 2 Kings 6, verse 3. And one said, be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. So what's God saying to you and I in this about canceling debt? He's saying, expect divine assistance and divine cooperation to cancel debt. That this is not just on you. So everyone say, I'm to expect.
Divine assistance and divine cooperation
to cancel debt. Now, here's why this is so important. Remember when we prayed earlier and I prayed for the Morrisons? Mm-hmm. And I said, we were in the hospital room, we prayed. I came to church the next day, we prayed. We've been praying throughout. And then we also reminded God of his word that we prayed today. What were we doing? Well, see, what I was leading you all in doing was we were expecting divine assistance. None of us can heal Brother Morrison. The doctors are doing their best. So we need somebody who is greater and bigger than all of them. Mm-hmm. Everyone say divine assistance.
Divine assistance.
So we're expecting divine assistance, and watch this, and we're expecting divine cooperation. Before God would do anything on the earth, he needs somebody who's on earth to ask him. Mm-hmm. That's what we did. We're cooperating with God and let him know we realize this is not in our hands. It's in your hands. Mm-hmm. And if anybody can get this done, it's you and not us.
Amen.
That's when you understand. So if I can learn to expect divine assistance and divine cooperation, even when it comes to debt, then I can also expect divine assistance and divine cooperation when it comes to a miracle one of my family may need. You see, it's the same God. But he wants you to learn this and live this way so that you don't get caught off guard. I remember, and I'm sure Cheryl does too. Now, my father's already gone, but he was diagnosed. Now, in his early 40s, he was diagnosed with cancer in his kidney. He lost his kidney, so he was living on one kidney. Now, I wasn't in the things of God strongly when he was in his early 40s. Cheryl and I just got married, so I was real young, 21. But then I started growing in the things of God. And then, you remember this, Cheryl? He got diagnosed with cancer a second time. And now I'm flowing now in the things of God now. I was even pastoring at this time, and he calls me to come. And said, Mark, now he's in Texas. I'm in Buffalo. Need you to come and pray for me. We go, drive all the way down to Texas, to Corpus Christi, Texas, my hometown. Pray for my dad. He believed, watch this, that if my son laid hands on me and prayed, God gonna respond to Mark. And God did. He was healed. Listen. But see, it's one thing to be healed. It's another thing to adopt a lifestyle that produces healing constantly. Watching your words, watching your actions, watching your thoughts. So even though he got healed, so twice now from cancer he got healed. And then cancer came back. years later. Cancer came at the base of his brain and behind his nasal passages. And so, because it was given radiation, it burned up all the saliva glands. Because radiation killed the good and the bad. And I saw, and now this time, now I already told you, two victories against cancer, but this is the third time. And he was getting tired. He was tired. I can understand that. I go down on his birthday. His birthday is February 19th. Mine is February 1st. His is the 19th. I go down on his birthday and I see him. The doctor comes in and says, Mark. Now, his doctor was our family doctor when I was growing up. So this man has been in my dad's life all these many years. He says, Mark, I don't know what's keeping your father here. I said, what you mean, doc? He said, Mark, everything in his body should be gone, but he's still here. He says, Mark, I don't even know how his heart is still beating. Mark, I can't. He says, there is no medical reason as to why your father is still alive today. I said, all right, doc, thank you. Because I knew some things. And then all of a sudden, the room was filled with one of my other sisters and a cousin. And all of a sudden, God had me look over at my dad and I go kneel beside his bed. Oh yeah, I'm kneeling. Because God tells me, Mark, he suffered long enough. Let's let him come home. Then why would God ask me, let's let him come home? Because I was the one who took authority over the spirit of cancer. And death couldn't take him. I knelt beside his bed on one knee, held his hand, and he said, it's going to be all right, Mark. But I knew something he didn't know. It was time. I stayed kneeling. All of a sudden, the presence of God filled the room, and everybody else who was in the room talking, they stopped and looked at me kneeling by his bed, and I started crying. He says, Mark, why are you crying, son? I'm going to be all right. I knew something. And I just cried. God's presence, I'm crying because his presence. I'm crying because of what I know. I'm crying for my dad. And I know he's already in the right place. He's already got his life right with God. But I'm just crying because of all of that. And all of a sudden, one by one, including nurses, they leave the room. They can't stand in his presence. God's presence. They leave the room. And then my cousin and sister and all of them, they left and they said, Mark knew something. And I stayed kneeling. I can't tell you how long I knelt. It was a long time. I can't tell you how long I cried. It was a long time. And when... What are you doing? When I finally had a release... And I got up. He said, Mark, why are you crying? I told you I'm going to be all right. I said, it's going to be all right now. And my dad passed 2 days later. But it was all right. I did my part. I understood. Now, why am I sharing all this with you? This was all part of my training. It was all part of my developing. Mark, develop a kingdom mindset when you're dealing with your relatives. See, sometimes we're too emotional. But emotion isn't faith. And you got to get there. And that's why I've even been spoon-feeding Cheryl, trying to train Cheryl, getting her ready with her parents, building her up. I only could tell, you know, release so much to her to show her how to be that rock so that you can know. Because I have an agreement with God that he will reveal to me anytime any of my family members will leave here. And he tells me before so I know. So this is why we have to understand. I'm out of time. I'm out of time. This is why we have to understand canceling debt. It's not about a financial thing. It's a spiritual thing. You follow me? And if you can use your authority to cancel debt, you can use your authority to cancel cancer. Amen. If you can use your authority to cancel debt, you can use your authority, watch this, to put the spirit of death on hold. Last testimony. Now, I'm young in this now. Now, that testimony, I was a little older, but this right here, I was young. Cheryl's mother's cousin was in the hospital room. I don't know what she diagnosed with. Do you recall?
She had breast cancer.
There's cancer again. See, I didn't even know it. Or maybe I just forgot. And Cheryl arranged for me to go pray for her at her house. I didn't even know this woman. I prayed with her at her house. First, I asked her, like I did, do you believe it's God's will for you to be healed? Yes, preacher, yes, yes. I was a young minister. I was still young in these things. God is teaching me, but he's teaching me about authority. And it's teaching me what I just shared with you. Everything in the natural has a root in the spirit. He's teaching me now. Now, I didn't have a relationship with her, but I have authority over spiritual things, including cancer. I prayed with her at her house. She was in a bed. I prayed. It was me and Cheryl in the room. And so then a little later, I don't know the time frame, I don't remember it exactly, but a little while later, she's sent to the hospital. And at this time, she doesn't recognize nobody else in the family. Now, I just share with you, I don't have a relationship with her. She doesn't recognize nobody in the family. But when I walk into the room, she says, there's that preacher. She turns to me and follows me in the room. Preacher, I've only met the woman one other time. But see, I'm trying to teach you something about spiritual authority. See, if you get to the place where you stop playing games with this stuff and playing church, but be for real and be the body of Christ, we'll see some things. And then I walk to the right side at the foot of her bed, and she said, preacher, and she does this. There he is. She said, preacher, there he is. What do you think she saw? She saw her angel. He was waiting on her. And God tells me in the room that you need to release her because I rebuked the spirit of death and told death, you're not going to have a candidate. She ain't going nowhere. And so when I finally was able to make it to the room and I walked to the foot of the bed, she said, preacher, there he is. You see him? She's not talking to nobody else in the room. She don't remember or recognize anybody else, but she recognized spiritual authority. And I didn't know then what I know now. I look up there. I don't see nothing. I just saw the TV in there and it was off. And she kept, preacher, don't you see him? I look again, I don't see nothing. But she sees her angel. And I look at Cheryl, and me and Cheryl lock eyes, and Cheryl nods. You know what she see? I say, it's her angel. So I go to her, the head part of a bed, and I pray. I said, all right, dear, it's time. It's time for you to go. And so I prayed. I said, I release you in the name of Jesus. I release you from this because God told me. She suffered enough. Now, she didn't have the faith to overcome. Because she didn't have the teaching. The church she went to didn't teach her how to believe God for her healing. And so I went to the head of her bed and I prayed and I released her. I said, all right, dear, I release you. And in Jesus' name, it's okay for you to enter into his presence. And after a day and a half, Cheryl said that night, I thought it was a day, that night she went home to be with the Lord. Now, what do we say? Do we say that's coincidence? I don't. But what I'm trying to show you is this is how you and I have to approach the debt in your life. Watch this. Because debt is a curse. And if you get to the place of operating authority there, then God can use you over here at a whole nother level that you've never seen before. That it could possibly save some family members' lives, possibly save your own life, possibly. Are y'all listening to me?
Yes, sir.
That's how serious this is. So this ain't about no money thing. The only reason why we bring it up is because the God of Mammon tries to act like it's on the same level as the God of glory. Mm-hmm. And the God of Mammon must bow its knee.
Amen.
Now, they call it a God of Mammon. You would say the God of money. And then if you even go further, they would call it the God of Baal. But he works through the system of debt to make you feel obligated. Let me end with this. Y'all get something today?
Amen.
Let me end with this. Come on, give God some praise. Give God some praise. Let's end with this. Let's end with this. I'm going to give you what I got. 5 things just to show you. And then we'll pick this up on Thursday night. Debt has a condescending effect. This is why we got to cancel it. Debt has a condescending effect. Condescending. Number 2, debt has a crippling effect. So the adversary uses it to cripple your faith. Debt has a condescending effect. Debt has a crippling effect. Number 3, debt has a crumbling effect. Think about a fortified wall, brick wall, and then all of a sudden it starts crumbling. Now that's what debt does. Debt has a crumbling effect. Number 4, debt has a condemning effect. It wants you to point the finger at yourself and blame yourself and live in the place called self-blame, self-accusation, so that you won't operate in the image of God that you are. And then finally, debt has a cursed effect. It is part of the curse. And Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree, so that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. That's you and I. Amen? So let me see what you got. Number 1, it has a condescending effect. Number 2, it has a crippling effect. Number 3, it has a
crumbling
effect. Think about a structure and it's crumbling, being broken down. See, debt tries to break you down spiritually. Number 4, it has a condemning effect. He wants you to blame yourself. The devil uses debt to make you feel guilty, make you feel not good enough, make you feel inferior. And then finally, debt has a
cursed
effect. He wants to pass the curse of debt through you and to your children, and then children's children. He wants to affect 3 generations with debt. That's why, and it's sad to say, in our culture, black and brown culture, many times elderly will pass and have no life insurance. And so their debt and their woes is put on the kids. He wants to do that. God wants to bless us to have a three-generational effect so that the blessing passes down three generations. You, your children, and grandchildren. The blessing. But we got to get to this place where we develop a kingdom mindset to cancel debt. Everyone standing. Father, we bless you today. We glorify you. We magnify you. Thank you for the word that was shared. I pray that I said what you wanted said, did what you wanted done, use the illustrations and the examples that you wanted used to get this message across. Father, we're trusting you for the accuracy in what we heard, that you will use it to minister to each one of us, to build within us the faith, the courage, the boldness, and the confidence to stand strong, believe strong, expect strong, and cause strong demonstrations to take place in our lives, and we will never be the same again. Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you, Father, for the transformation that's taking place in our lives. In the name of Jesus, we give you praise and thanksgiving. And Father, if there's any one of us here under the sound of my voice, in the physical building or on virtual, on the faith call, and we've made some wrong choices this week. We've operated wrong, and we knew that you didn't like that, but we still did it anyway. Father, I pray, forgive us. Forgive us, Father. Lay not the charge against us. I plead the power of the blood of Jesus upon us to release us from the sin, the error, or if anybody in here was judging somebody else. Forgive us. Forgive us, Father, for we don't know what we're doing. We don't know what it was causing. We don't know the full effect. So help us to not to have a condemning mindset, a critical mindset. Help us to get to the place where we stop using our mouth for profanity and cussing. Stop using our mouth to lie and deceive people. Forgive us. We don't know what we're doing, Lord.
We truly hope you enjoyed this teaching by Pastor Mark Roberson of Faith Word Fellowship. Please visit us at one of our two locations. If you're in Buffalo, New York, or surrounding areas, please visit us at Faith Word Fellowship International. And if you're in the St. Catharines, Ontario, or surrounding areas, please visit us at Faith Word Fellowship Canada. To learn more about Faith Word Fellowship or to contact Pastor Mark or to even access other teachings by Pastor Mark, please visit us at www.faithwordfellowship.org. And always remember, one word from God and you will never be the same again.